dummy. You big dummy. You big dummy. See what you did?
Oh, no, you big dummy.
You dummy.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 o'clock. And it's Friday, and that means our regular features. And we're going to start off with, you big dummy. And you all know what that is. That's when I read a dumb news story about a dumb person doing a dumb thing, read a few of them, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. We've been doing this for a long time. It's a lot of fun. And there is never a lack of dumbness in the world to fill this segment. So
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, exactly right. I do want to mention that Nathaniel Taylor, who played Rollo on Sanford and the Son, passed away yesterday. And I did want to mention that because if we're talking about Sanford and Son or playing the Sanford and Son theme, Rollo was one of the funniest characters on that show. He was absolutely hilarious. He passed away. He was 80. He had a heart attack. He had a heart attack a few days ago, and he died in the hospital. It's really sad. He was so great on that. He was on What's Happening. He did a lot of TV and a lot of movies as well. But he's best remembered as Rollo on Sanford and Son. And Fred Sanford never did not insult Rollo. So that was something he did. Anyway, so Nathaniel Taylor, rest in peace. Rest in peace, Rollo. All right, let's talk about some dummies. Dummy number one, dummy number one, dummy number one. Filmmakers and writers do this exercise called storyboarding. You lay the elements of your piece out visually in little scenes or snippets, and you arrange them in a manner that's cohesive and intriguing. I'll confess right now that I'm starting to metaphorically storyboard what contains the following elements of this story. Gold Speedo, Naked Guy, Dog Park, Peanut Butter, Fantasy Football. Struggling how to arrange them. So, here we go. Maybe we'll start in reverse chronology. Last week, a 25-year-old Arlington, Texas man arrived at Bark Park Central Park in Dallas, Dallas, Texas, nearly naked except for a gold Speedo bathing suit. The man then covered himself in creamy Jif peanut butter and entered the dog park. He stood there for 5 minutes while dogs eagerly approached for a snack and spectators watched in confusion. His girlfriend filmed the incident. Why, for the love of God? Because he lost a bet. Steven Trout placed last in his 12-person fantasy football league, the penalty of which is to pay $250 or perform the dog park peanut butter stunt. The thrifty Trout chose the latter. My strategy was to do it as fast as possible and hope that not many people would see me. Presumably, he regrets drafting Le'Veon Bell first.
Dummy.
Dummy number two. Dummy number two. Dummy number two. Valentine's Day may have come and gone, but we're willing to bet one Kentucky man has still not stopped hearing about the gift he gave his wife. When I got up, I had my first cup of coffee, and he said, "Oh, your turnips are here." And I said, "Turnips?" Yes, Alan Harris accidentally got his wife, Nina, turnips instead of tulips, thinking that's what she wanted the night before. He wasn't paying attention, Nina said. Yes, I know, he said. I went out, got the bucket, and put the turnips in the bucket that says, "I love you," Alan said. I went in, I got her coffee, and I said, "Here you go, here are your turnips." Alan admits he wasn't really listening, so he assumed his wife wanted turnips for her garden. He did wind up getting Nina double the tulips plus candy and balloons to make up for it. Fortunately, Alan, his wife likes root vegetables.
The footage
game, you were just a plain dummy. But after the night, you'd be a broke dummy. So to the dummy with the black mustache.
Dummy number three, dummy number three, dummy number three. Oh, this one. Howard Webb, 31, was arrested for allegedly dipping his testicles into a restaurant customer's salsa. A Tennessee man is accused of dipping something other than chips into the salsa. Webb, in a video published by the news station, is seen seemingly putting his testicles in a cup of salsa. Someone else in the vehicle, identified as the delivery driver, is heard giggling and saying, quote, "This is what you get when you give an 89-cent tip for an almost 30-minute drive." Dinner Delivered addressed the video on Facebook, writing that the driver Webb was with was a rogue independent contractor, quote-unquote, quote-unquote. The identified food delivery driver engaged in criminal behavior that has resulted in indecent acts performed to customers' orders, as well as unverified claims of inserting poisonous substances in customers' drinks. He's done this before. The delivery service wrote that it reported the driver to the law enforcement authorities. Webb, according to WBIR, was arrested Friday on charges with adulteration of food, liquids, or pharmaceuticals.
What kind of life do you think it is being the father of a young dummy? Every dummy, there's a dummy.
Dummy number four, dummy number four, dummy number four. Alabama police say a dispute over crab legs at a dinner buffet ended in a brawl, left two people facing misdemeanor charges. Huntsville police officer Gerald Johnson says he was eating at the Meteor Buffet restaurant and a fight broke out. Johnson tells WHN-TV that diners were using service tongs like fencing swords and plates were shattering all over the place and a woman was beating a man. Johnson says diners had been waiting in line for crab legs for more than 10 minutes and they lost their tempers once the food came out. The station reports that Chiquita Jenkins is charged with assaulting John Chapman, who suffered a cut on his head. Chapman is charged with disorderly conduct. Court records are not available to show whether either person has a lawyer. I mean, what was crab legs after all? You got to understand.
One dummy ain't enough in this house. You got to bring home super dummy.
By the way, when he was talking about super dummy, Rollo. He's talking about Rollo.
But if you and Rollo going to be in the movie, I got the perfect name for it. Super dummies.
Oh, man. Dummy number five. Dummy number five. Dummy number five. This is probably a lesson on how not to go about, quote unquote, catching them all. According to a report out of Japan, a 40-year-old Pokemon Go player allegedly punched a police officer while playing the game. According to Yahoo News, about 50 people have gathered to catch a Pokemon in a hotel lobby. However, the group was obstructing the entrance and guests were unable to get in and out of the building. A police officer attempted to disperse the crowd. However, one of the players refused to leave, insisting on catching the Pokemon. After failing to catch the monster, the man told the cop, "It's your fault I didn't catch the Pokemon." Then, he allegedly decided the best way to proceed was to punch the officer. Probably not the best route to take to get to the gym leader. The man was then arrested, and he was questioned and considered that this is a lesson on ways not to play Pokemon Go. That Pokemon Go has contributed a lot of content to this segment. Lots of dumb people.
There's something for you right here. Want it. Dummy. Won't be long before we'll hear the pitter-patter of tiny dummies around the house.
All right. Now I've got a recap here, and we're going to vote. So I'll recap Ashley, you're going to vote first. I'll vote second. And then after the recap, if you guys want to jump in here, it's 312-981-7200. First person in gets to be the third vote. First person in gets to be the third vote. 312-981-7200. Okay. So we got the first dummy. The dummy who went to the dog park covered in peanut butter because he lost a bet. We got the dummy who bought his wife turnips instead of tulips for Valentine's Day. We got the dummy who dipped his testicles into a customer's salsa. We got the dummies who brawled in a restaurant over crab legs. And the dummy Pokemon Go player who punched a cop. Those are our five dummies this week. Ashley, who are you going to vote for?
I think I'd have to go with dummy number three, the guy who
dipped his testicles.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's it. Well, that, you know, the comment about that's what you get for giving an 89-cent tip on a 30-minute ride. Okay, well, that's our dummy right here, and let's see. The Pokemon Go, like I said, we have lots of stories about Pokemon Go. I thought that, you know, and it died down for a while because at first when Pokemon Go first hit, it was you know, we used to get a story every week. About somebody sideswiping a cop car because they were playing Pokemon Go, about people falling into sewers, open sewers, because of people playing Pokemon Go. And the dog, the peanut butter thing in the dog park is just so absolutely ridiculous. I gotta go with the brawl in the buffet.
Really?
With the crab legs. I don't know. I just, you know, the fact that, I mean, it's first of all, buffet restaurants, a lot of weird stuff happens in buffet restaurants. I mean, they attract a certain, you know, there's a certain kind of customer that likes to go to buffet restaurants.
True.
If you're standing there for 10 minutes, if a buffet restaurant customer is standing there for 10 minutes waiting for crab legs, something bad's going to happen. But I just love the fact that they were fighting each other with the tongs like they were swords.
I love how they use the word brawl.
Brawl.
It really paints a picture.
It does.
I'm picturing chairs flying,
yeah.
Plates being slammed against.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No question about it. And by the way, you can't see it, but the mugshots of the woman and the man
are hilarious.
Are unbelievably funny. So we have two different ones here. So we have to have a vote that hopefully will break the tie because we've got the dummy who dipped his testicles in the customer salsa, and I got the dummies who brawled in a restaurant over crab legs. John, who are you voting for?
I'm voting for the turnips for the tulips, baby.
Turnips for the tulips.
Turnips.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
All right. So we don't have a winner yet, so we're going to need one more. We have to break a tie here.
I actually got a text from John Hansen from JamTV, and he said, absolutely dummy number three.
Dummy number three.
I win.
Okay, there you go. So the dummy, you win and he loses.
Yeah.
Because he's the dummy of the week. So John Hansen, of course John Hansen's going to pick that one.
Yeah, he shot me a text. And I'm like, absolutely. There's no other way.
Thanks for listening, John. I appreciate it. Okay, so the dummy dipping the testicles into the customer salsa.
I mean, hey, yours was agreed with yours. The things involving food.
Yeah.
With people.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Oh boy. Okay, good batch of dummies. All right, we're gonna break here. We've got some weather right now. Then we'll break and then we'll come back and it will be time for Straight Out of Context. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, cause Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context, context, context. Context. What's up? Tell them where you're from. Straight out of context. 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 That's right. Welcome back, everybody. And it's Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we continue with our Friday regular features. And this is Straight Out of Context. You know what this is? This is when you listen 24/7 whenever anybody at any time on this radio station says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty. We would like you to write it down. It makes you giggle and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, Ashley, this is your first time doing the Straight Out of Context. So tell us about each clip before you play it and who sent it in.
Okay, so the first clip is said by Kevin Powell, and it was sent in by Fox Valley Mike.
That it feels like big.
He clearly must have been talking about food because he loves to talk about food. Good old K-Paul. All right, what's next?
All right, so the next one is going to be Wendy Snyder and Bill Left. And as we know, they've had a couple been played throughout our show so far, but this one's different. And it was sent in by Mark D.
They just whip it out.
I know.
This is your first time doing this segment. Over the years, Wendy Snyder has provided a lot of content for this segment.
Oh, I believe it. She's a good friend with my mom.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So I know their crazy stories from them in high school, which I think is so funny.
That's great. Okay.
All right. So next up, we have a Patty Vasquez one, and this is sent in by B.
I would have been impressed if he had destroyed it.
Okay.
Okay, I think this one's my favorite of all the ones, and this is Orion Samuelson, and it's sent in from Kelly from Elgin.
But I've watched a lot of guys do it, and they're unbelievably fast.
It's just his voice.
It's great. It's great.
Awesome.
You know, whenever Orion appears, it doesn't happen very often, but whenever Orion appears on Straight Out of Context, and he has in the past, he and Dave Ennett are my two favorites because they're just so professional and straight laced and everything. And when they appear on the show, on this segment, it always cracks me up. Okay, Orion. Okay.
Okay, we got Matt Bubala, and it's from Streamwood Carol.
Don't take it out unless you put it in.
Come on, man!
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
All right, same one. Streamwood Carol, she found one from Lisa Wolf as well.
What does it do for you?
Oh, okay.
All right, and now this one is you.
Yeah.
So this that happens. Is from Bartlett Bub.
You know, I bowl left-handed and stuff, but I do other things right-handed. Okay.
All right, but
I'm not going to speak on that one.
Okay, we got Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson, and this one was sent in by B.
That's big.
Yes.
our first baseball clip of the year, our first White Sox clip of the year. Okay.
All right, we got Patty Vasquez again, and this is also sent in by B.
Oh, push. You have to push.
These are good.
Man, oh, man. By the way, I just want you to know, Ashley, that this this segment was actually, this bit was invented by Andy Herman, my old producer, Andy Herman, from years ago. You just need to know, in case you're wondering, his favorite TV show of all time, and he's seen every episode a million times, is Three's Company. So that should tell you.
I love Three's Company.
That should tell you, you know, the sexual innuendo, the double entendre. Oh, yeah. It's built into Andy Herman's brain. So.
Oh, man. He probably heard these things loud and clear when he was just driving
around.
Oh,
you kidding? Yeah.
The one thing that stood out. All right, we have another one by you, and this is from Kathy from Antioch.
All right, well, I'm going to go down here. come on, man.
All right, we have a Mary Sandberg Boyle one, and it is sent in by Margaret from Antioch.
Yeah, Dave doesn't. Dave's just rock hard.
Oh, man. Oh, they must have known that was that. They must have known that was going to end up. Oh, my God. Okay.
All right. Now we have a Wendy Snyder one again, of course. And then it's from Kelly from Elgin.
Totally. Have you ever tripped over it, Steve?
I know. That was a good one.
Okay.
All right. We have another Mary Sandberg Boyle one from Kelly from Elgin.
Turn over and get on your hands and knees.
I wonder what was going on that day.
What? What? All right. How many more do we have?
This is the last one.
Oh, good, because it's going to time out perfectly for us to break for the news.
All right, and then it's from Carl Amari, and Streamwood Steve sent it in.
All right.
It's a really nice package.
See, this is another thing. Anytime someone says the word package on this radio station, immediately my listeners start writing stuff down.
Oh my god! So. I've already had some people send in like three so far from just our conversation.
Yeah, I bet.
I bet. This is so awesome.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Ashley. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take a break. We got the news coming up, and then after the news, we got Nick D's show Spies, and then we'll get funky and Fly Jam Friday.
Spies.
Hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody.
Spies. Spies. Spies.
Like us.
Yeah, there it is. You know what that means. It's time for Nick D Show Spies, another regular Friday feature of ours. And this is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity, we want to know about it. You become a spy. Jot down the day, the time, who said it. And again, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And keep that email address around for all of the regular features. nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay. What do we have going, Ashley?
All right, we have four spies for today, and the first spy was sent, our first spy is Brian, and this clip is John Williams talking with Pam Jones and Elif Guris about Jewel.
The Jewels.
Yeah, I think it's the Jewels. What does Nick DiGilio say? I believe Nick says the Jewels.
He also says Jewels.
Jewels.
Someone just texted Jewels. That
Yeah,
well.
I think it's, that's, I don't know, we may have to agree to disagree on that one.
No, it's the Jewels. It's the Jewels. I worked at Jewel. What's really funny, Ashley, is you know I've been doing this show for a really long time, you know, and I used to work at Jewel years ago. I worked there, and I worked there for like 11, 12 years, and so I'm aware that the actual name of the grocery store is Jewel. I know that it was on my paychecks. Yeah. I know that it's but in Chicago, a lot of people say, "Let's go to the Jewels." They say the Jewels. And
what?
It's a Chicago thing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a Chicago thing.
I said, let's go to Jewel.
Yeah, well, you're young,
rare.
Though.
Yeah.
You're young.
Yeah.
I think it might be an older thing. But a lot of people say, let's go to the Jewels. You know, it's like Soldier's Field.
Yeah.
Soldier's Field. Let's go to Soldier's Field. People add like an S where there shouldn't be an S. So I say the Jewels in jest. I do it as a joke. And it still makes people mad. Like, they will call up whoever's producing my show, and I'll say, yeah, so I went over to the Jewels, and then they'll call up and go, it's not the Jewels. It's called Jewel. Doesn't he know it's called Jewel? And then my producer would have to explain, yes, it's a bit. He's doing a joke. He's been doing this joke. He's been doing the Jewels joke for you know, years now, and people still get angry about it when I say it. So that's another reason why I'm encouraged to say the Jewels.
That's hilarious.
By the way, you're familiar with JoJo, right?
JoJo the clown?
The Jewels mascot?
Oh, no.
You don't know JoJo?
No.
Oh, he's the best. I have a JoJo bobblehead in my office and a stuffed toy.
No way.
Yeah, he's the best. He's a one-eyed he's a furry one-eyed monster. So, you look it up online.
All right.
Look it up online. There's another thing to write down. JoJo.
JoJo the Jewel.
It's JoJo. Just JoJo Jewel. Just JoJo Jewelosko.
No way.
And someone posted a video on my Facebook page of JoJo dancing with a new employee at a grand opening. Sorry?
He's gone now, right?
Who?
JoJo.
No, he's new.
Still at the, he's new.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, JoJo is a recent, I think he just celebrated like his year anniversary as the mascot of Jewel.
So, cool. I'll look it up.
JoJo, he's the best. Okay, the Jewels. All right, what's next?
All right, the next spy is Dan from Lake Geneva, and it is John Hansen has a Nick D fan call in.
Yes, hi, guys. Good show. I just wanted to remind you what Nick DiGilio always says.
Oh, that's always trouble. That's a great way to start.
Yes, why married people live longer than single people is because marriage is a slow death.
Yeah.
That's a good line.
Well, I've been married twice, so let's just leave it at that. Let's just leave it at that. Okay. All right.
Okay. We have our next spy is Peter from Decatur. He did double duty for this one. So this is the first one he found, or heard, I should say. And the caller tells Dean Richards about Nick D food movie scenes.
One of the three films in the trifecta of comedy, Nick DiGilio would say. It's from Animal House. It's in the cafeteria, and John Belushi is just going down the line and stuffing every bit of food he can in his mouth.
Fantastic.
And then, of course, he just smashes his cheeks, and then all
of that
great food.
I'm a zit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the holy trinity of comedy, as I call it. The holy trinity of comedy is Animal House, Caddyshack, Stripes. That's the.
Oh, I haven't seen the third one, but I've seen Animal House and Caddyshack.
Oh, you got to see Stripes. Got to see Stripes.
Writing that down.
You got to see Stripes. You got to see Stripes.
Same but era?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Animal House was 78. Caddyshack was 80. Stripes was 81. And there's a common thread between all three of them. And it's Harold Ramis.
Oh.
Harold Ramis directed and co-wrote Caddyshack. He wrote Animal House. He wrote and appears in Stripes.
Oh wow!
And he was one of my comedy heroes. He passed away way too young, but you take those trilogies and you take that trilogy of comedy, that incredibly impactful trilogy of comedy, and the one thing that it all has in common is the great Harold Ramis.
Oh wow!
So yeah, I just wanted to make sure because I know the caller mentioned that it was Animal House, but I wanted to make sure the other two were mentioned.
Yeah,
Caddyshack and Stripes. You should see Stripes. It's really funny. Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, Warren Oates, John Candy. It's really funny.
What's it about?
These two goofballs. Bill Murray plays this slacker who's a taxi driver, gets fired from his job. His girlfriend leaves him, decides to join the Army, and Harold Ramis just kind of tags along. So they join the Army and they go to basic training. And then they end up in Italy rescuing their squad from being kidnapped. And they have an RV that's fully armed. It's hard to explain,
okay,
but it's basically about two goofballs.
Yeah.
Well, one goofball who talks another goofball into joining the Army with him. That's essentially what it's about.
Okay,
and,
awesome.
And the first half of the movie is their basic training, and the first half of the movie is ridiculously funny. So the second half is good, too, but the first half is just, it's like nonstop comedy.
All right, sweet. I got to check it out. I love that type of era of movie, like early 80s, 70s films.
Yeah. That's sort of my era of comedy.
It was censored, but not really censored, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, if you're a Mel Brooks fan, then you like that kind of stuff.
Oh,
Animal House came out in 1978. I was 13, and I saw it 800 times. And there's a lot of boobs in it and swearing and all that stuff. And as a 13-year-old boy, I thought it was fantastic. I was 15 when Caddyshack came out, and I was 16 when Stripes came out. These are formative years for a young man who likes Saturday Night Live and comedy.
True.
That's why they're in there. A lot of people would add Blues Brothers to the mix, but I'm one of the only people on the planet that doesn't like the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, I got it. No, I'm with you. I think the hype is too much.
Yeah. I just, I mean, the music's
it's a
great.
Classic.
Music's
I get
great.
It, but it's, yeah, the hype in my eyes is just slightly too much.
Yeah. I don't think it holds up nearly as well as those other three.
Oh, no, definitely not. So I'm with you on that one.
All right, cool.
Look at that.
We have one more?
Yes, we do have one more.
Okay.
And it was, again, a spy, Peter from Decatur. He sent it.
Peter from Decatur is one of our best listeners. He's a guy who listens all the time. And he has shown up at my film club stuff, and he contributes to texts when we ask for texts, when we do our music bump requests, like your Triple Play Thursday or your Wild Card Wednesday. He always gets requests in. And he contributes to the Friday morning stuff a lot. He listens all the time, and I really appreciate it, Peter.
He's like the ultimate spy for you.
He is. Okay.
All right, so this is Dane Neal talks to Bill and Wendy about Oscars and Nick.
You filled in very late last night, didn't you, Dane?
So the last 3 days in for Nick DiGillo, you know how he loves movies and the Oscars, and he's decided to approach the Oscar party kind of like a Mardi Gras situation, and it just keeps going. The party never stops. So.
He is sick. Do not lie. Nick is sick.
Yeah.
I was just trying to enhance the brand, you know, like a rock star. You know, you just say that they've trashed the hotel room because
it's good for
the fan base.
Although Nick is too honest because he keeps posting on his Facebook page, I feel like crap, couch, soup, TV, you know? So he's letting
we've had fun.
Are you in for the rest of the week for him, Dane?
You know what? I don't know because he's such a cloak and dagger guy. And, of course, you know, you never know. One of those, you know, amazing recoveries and in this day and age, those inspirational stories, and he's open to rise.
Yeah, I came back Thursday. Now, I will say this. He was right about me taking Monday off because of the Oscars. I also want to make it clear that I don't party anymore. I want to make sure people know that. I used to party like a maniac and drink a lot. So I don't want any indication out there of like, oh, he took off because he got too drunk at an Oscar party and he needed to recover. That's just not the case at all.
You were just dying.
I always take the Monday after the Oscars off because I need to sleep because I start watching the Oscars coverage at like 11 in the morning. And then I watched all the red carpet stuff. I watched the entire thing, and it doesn't end until 11:30 at night. And it would have to be here like midnight. So that means there's an entire Sunday I don't sleep. So that's why I take the Monday off. It has nothing to do with me partying like a Mardi Gras. And yes, I did get sick. I was legitimately sick on Tuesday and Wednesday. Still kind of recovering, not 100% yet. But yeah, so I was sick. Wendy was right. So the Oscars. Did you watch the Oscars?
I didn't get a chance to, no, because I was doing a radio show over at my school.
Oh.
I should have done like a live coverage thing. I don't know what I was
thinking. Yeah. It was pretty good. They didn't have a host, and it was a half an hour shorter
than a host.
Yeah, no host.
No way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They wanted Kevin Hart. They hired Kevin Hart to do it, and then all the controversy about his homophobic tweets from the past came out, and he dropped. And then
I didn't hear about the homophobic tweets.
For over 3 months, they were trying to figure out, what should we get a host? Should we get a host? And they didn't get a host.
Was it?
And it turned out fine.
Great. Wow.
It turned out fine. And it was like I said, it was a half an hour shorter than last year. So that could say something. I mean, they didn't. Basically, it didn't open up with a 15-minute monologue. Like, you know, because when you have a host, that host comes out, does a 15 to 20-minute monologue destroying the room.
True. Some songs.
And then they opened up with it's Queen and Adam Lambert came out.
Oh, nice. Yes, that's right.
And they performed. I hate Queen right now.
Really?
I hate Brian May and I hate Roger Taylor right now because they allowed that lying piece of garbage, Bohemian Rhapsody, to basically pee on Freddie Mercury's grave by having the most inaccuracies I've ever seen in any movie. It's an incredible insult to the memory of Freddie
Never
Mercury.
Never saw it.
It is a terrible movie. It was the worst movie last year.
And they won a lot, didn't they?
They won some technical awards, sound, and Rami Malek won Best Actor, which I guess was going to be a given. If it would have won Best Picture,
you would have.
Yeah, I would have destroyed my apartment.
Left.
I would have destroyed my apartment.
Lit your house on
fire. It would have just been unbelievable. So anyway.
Well, okay, well then I will cross that off my list.
Well, I will say this though: a lot of people like it.
I know my mom really liked it,
yeah.
But a lot of people that I've also talked to said that they didn't like the inaccuracies.
It's a bunch of lies.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of lies. At one point in the movie. They move his actual diagnosis. Well, they change it. They, in order to have like an emotional ending, because it ends with the Live Aid performance, mm-hmm. and they do a nice job recreating the Live Aid performance. But you know what? The actual Live Aid performance is online, and you can watch it. You can actually watch it on YouTube. You can watch the real Freddie Mercury and the band perform the entire Live Aid set, and it's brilliant and it's awesome. You don't need to see some recreation for some terrible movie. So. What they did was, and this is the most unforgivable, and there's inaccuracies throughout the entire movie. How he got into the band, how they met, all of that stuff. It's all lies. It's all lies. And it's also, on top of that, it's all very, very, like, Lifetime movie made-for-TV-like.
Oh.
It just covers the basic, it's like a Wikipedia page with inaccuracies. That's what it's like watching.
Oh, wow.
So, the most unforgivable lie, first of all, according to the movie, they kick him out of the band because he wants to do a solo record, when in real life, Brian May and Roger Taylor both did solo records before Freddie Mercury did. So that's the reason they kick him out of the band in the movie. And then he's got a tail between his legs. He's got to beg to come back into the band, which never happened. And then he gets diagnosed with AIDS. And then begs to get back into the band so that they can do this Live Aid performance. So the problem is the Live Aid performance took place in 1985. And Freddie Mercury was diagnosed with HIV. Not AIDS, HIV at the time, in 1987. So they moved his diagnosis 2 years early so they could have some sort of fake emotional ending to the Live Aid performance. It's unforgivable. It's unforgivable. It's also a really bad movie, just in general. Rami Malek is good, though.
Yeah.
He came, he did his homework, he did his job. He had a terrible script, but, you know, like, he had the mannerisms down, he had the voice down, the performance stuff.
I think that's why my mom liked it a lot, because she loves Freddie Mercury.
Oh, so do
and
I.
For him to recreate that vibe,
well,
I think she
the
really
reason I hated the movie is because I love Freddie Mercury.
So much, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, don't lie about this guy, man. He's one of the greatest frontmen in the history of music and was a really interesting dude. And you know Sacha Baron Cohen was supposed to play him, right?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Okay, and the reason he dropped out?
Because of the script?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's like, no, you can't whitewash this. Yeah. You can't do this. Either these are lies. I want to make a real movie about Freddie Mercury. So that's why he left.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry I went off on I've been going off on Bohemian Rhapsody since the damn thing came out 5 months ago. So anyway. All right. We have to break, and I promise we'll play some funky music on Fly Jams Friday. Thanks for all your work.
Hey, no problem.
All right. I got some weather to do for you here. Here's your forecast from the WDN Chicago Weather Center. For today, partly cloudy with a chance of light snow overnight. High temperatures reaching the mid to upper 30s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, breezy winds with a high in the lower 30s. Chance of light snow periodically throughout the day. And then for Sunday, cloudy turning colder with some light snow expected along the Lakeshore Drive. Highs in the lower 20s, and the temperatures are going to fall to the teens later in the afternoon. And then Monday, partly sunny, bitterly cold with a high temperature shy of the teens with negative 10 to negative 20 wind chills. And then for Tuesday, partly sunny throughout the day, clear skies overnight, and then a low in the single digits. It is currently 24 degrees at O'Hare. It's 26 at Midway, 25 at the lakefront. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come up, play a few funky songs here for Fly Jam Friday.